DW.
I didn't know what was happening, because this was not normal. We had never had any romantic interaction, and he wasn't accepting I said no to him. And then he put his arm around my throat, and I realized that my life was in danger.
That's Christina Holst. I'm speaking to her over the phone from her home in Jutland in Denmark. In 2017, she was raped by a man she thought was her friend. She had been staying in a spare room at his apartment after a business meeting in Denmark's capital, Copenhagen, when he came into her room and raped her.
I didn't fight with him. I tried to speak to him to calm him down, because I hadn't seen him in this state of mind before. And I couldn't figure out what was happening. I realized that he was not going to stop. I think my brain just gave up and dissociated, because it was very painful too.
Holst said that she repeatedly told the man to stop, but eventually froze, a typical reaction for many victims. Still, the fact that she didn't physically fight back is a problem in Denmark. In the days following the attack, Holst said she was in pain and went to the hospital, where injuries including bruises on her breasts were recorded. She then went to the police. It took 4 attempts for them to take her seriously. She was told that cases where the victim and the perpetrator knew each other were rarely prosecuted, and questioned repeatedly about the physical evidence that she had resisted. Following an investigation, the man was put on trial. But although the court accepted that Holst had rejected the man's attempts to have sex with her, lawyers were unable to prove without reasonable doubt that the man had intended to hurt her. In Denmark, rape law is not based on consent. According to national law, it's not enough for a victim to simply say no or show physically that she doesn't want a sexual encounter. There, like in most countries in the European Union, a victim must prove that physical violence, threats or coercion were involved, or that they were unable to resist the attack. Since her attack, Holst has become a vocal campaigner to get the law changed in Denmark. In other parts of Europe too, campaigners have demanded amended legislation.
Hi, Anna.
Hi.
I'm speaking over Skype to Anna Brusch. Based in London, Brusch is Amnesty International's women's rights researcher for Europe. She has been part of the NGO's Let's Talk About Yes campaign, which aims to bring laws across Europe in line with the Istanbul Convention.
Human rights law and standards require states to recognize everyone's sexual autonomy and to use that in how rape is defined in legislation, and to recognize that sex without consent is rape, and that there should be no requirement on the victim to display physical signs of resistance.
Under the 2011 convention, states would have to criminalise all non-consensual acts of a sexual nature, including penetration of a sexual nature of the body of another person with any bodily part or object, or rape. All EU countries have signed the convention, and many have ratified it. And yet most still have yet to pass it into their own national laws. Anna Brusch again.
I think this is because of, on one hand, the lack of political will to address an issue that is mainly gendered. So even though people of all genders do get raped and can be victims of sexual violence, it is an issue which statistics show us affects mainly women and girls.
1 in 20 women over the age of 50 in the European Union and the United Kingdom has been raped, according to a survey carried out by the European Union Agency for Fundamental Rights. That's more than 9 million women. But figures from Eurostat, the EU statistical office, put the number of reported violent sexual crimes in 2015 at 215,000, around 80,000 of which were rapes. The real number of cases is estimated to be a lot higher. The number of women reporting rapes to authorities is low. Fear, shame, stigma, and many other factors hold victims back. Could amending sexual violence laws to include a consent-based definition of rape help change that? I've come to Prenzlauer Berg, a district in northern Berlin, to speak to family lawyer Teda Ginke. She represents victims of sexual violence, helping them to coordinate with police and get their cases to court.
Dazu hat sich die Bundesregierung entschlossen, insbesondere.
Until 2016, an act was only considered rape in Germany where a victim was found to have defended themselves against a violent sex attack. It was not sufficient for the victim to have said no. But following a number of sex attacks on women in the western city of Cologne on New Year's Eve, leading into 2016, the country quickly moved to change the law. Here's Ginka.
Der große Unterschied ist, dass
the big difference now is that it's no longer necessary to depend on the coercive action of the perpetrator. That means they must not necessarily have used violence, threats or exploited a situation where the victim was defenseless. There is also criminal liability if a sexual act was carried out against the recognizable or recognized will of the other person.
Oder erkannten Willen der anderen Person durchgeführt wurde.
It's a win for activists from the No Means No campaign, but a change that has led to its own difficulties. Consent under the law is not always simple, and demonstrating that a victim did not give consent can be hard to prove, says Ginka.
Das ist natürlich gleichzeitig eine Schwierigkeit.
Because it's not always so clear and not always provable that the offender heard the no, that the woman really demonstrated her contrary will or how she expressed it. Does it stand up? Is it clear to the court and can it be established? That is a new difficulty that has arisen due to the paragraph. But in my opinion, that has to be accepted.
That's also the opinion of Katja Grieger. She's the manager of the Federal Association of Rape Crisis Centres and Women's Counselling Centres in Germany, the BFF. The association represents around 190 centres across Germany. They offer help and advice to women who have been subject to sexual violence. Grieger says that recognising sexual autonomy through a change in Germany's law was an important message for governing authorities to send to women, even where a perpetrator is not then put on trial.
Ob der Staat wie
vorher... Whether the state says, like before, that nothing wrong has taken place, or whether it says, if we'd been able to prove the offence, we would have prosecuted. That is really a big difference for the feeling of justice for the people concerned, as to whether they are encouraged or whether they feel alone.
Damit alleine gelassen werden.
Since the law was changed, Germany has seen a slight increase in the number of rape offences reported to police. In 2017, authorities received more than 11,000 reports, up more than 3,000 from the year before. In 2018 and 2019, cases reported numbered almost 9,500, still around 2,000 higher than in the years prior to the change. Here's Grieger.
It's not a lot more, but it's still more. That means we still have a situation where the majority of rapes are not being reported. In our opinion, that has a lot to do with the way these processes are run, how women are treated. The processes take a long time, and it is really not a comfortable experience for victims, who are witnesses before the court.
It's still too early to see whether the change in legislation in Germany will lead to more convictions, but it's one step toward improving rights for victims of rape. Still, Amnesty International's Anna Busch says there will have to be other steps taken in Germany and other countries changing their laws to really make a more substantial difference and encourage even more victims to come forward.
There are many, many other systemic problems in terms of how the law is implemented, which are rooted in gender stereotypes and rape myths and the implementation within the whole justice system, training of legal professionals, sexuality education and prevention, awareness raising. So laws are only one part of the picture.
Denmark is now on the cusp of change. A draft law due to be presented to the Danish Parliament this week will propose a new law including a consent-based definition of rape. Extensive questioning of victims for proof that they resisted an attack could soon be a thing of the past. Saying no, in theory, would be enough. Even though it's come too late for her and many others, Holst is happy the change she's been fighting for and attitudes to rape along with it are slowly changing.
I would like to a lot of more countries in Europe to change their old-fashioned women-hating laws so that women can be protected not just for rape, but also against violence.
She wants to make sure other women do not suffer in the same way she did. Changes are also imminent in Spain, where similar legislation was held back because of the coronavirus outbreak. Activists all over Europe now hope that changes to rape law in the countries still behind will also be forthcoming. Louise Osborne for DW in Berlin.
DW.